Greetings. Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. I'm Paul Robbie, and I will lead you through the psalm. During this Easter season, we're reading some psalms. This is the psalm appointed for the fourth Sunday of Easter, Psalm 23, which is paired with John 10 and the Good Shepherd text, so that, you know, for Good Shepherd Sunday. Psalm 23 is the obvious psalm choice for this, well known, much beloved throughout the ages. And let's walk through it. One of the nice advantages of reading the text in the original is it forces the reader to slow down and look more carefully at the individual words and phrases. And it's conducive to a more careful reading. And in this process, very often you find that you see things that you didn't notice, even on a well-known text that we've known for years. Still, it's always possible to see more. I find that the scriptures are inexhaustible in this way. You can always look at them again and see more. It's just an amazing quality about the scriptures. Psalm 23, Mizmor, a psalm, Le David. If it just said Mizmor David, that would be a construct chain and it would be definite, the psalm of David. But this is not the only psalm. This is a psalm of David. How do you say that in Hebrew? And you use this circumlocution with the lamed. So, a psalm of David. Again, we should take that title seriously. This would be David after his anointing as the king. And remember, in Old Testament Israel, the king was like a shepherd. So that when we hear shepherd, we should think of shepherd king. And it's significant that David, the shepherd king, calls Yahweh my shepherd king. Of course, this title is doubly appropriate to David, not only as king, but because of his earlier background as a shepherd. So, very fitting imagery for him. Then the psalm begins, Yahweh Roi. Yahweh, of course, the God of Israel, whose name is Yahweh. He is Roi. This is from Roeh, technically a participle form of Ra'ah, one who shepherds. It's used so commonly, though, it's becomes a noun. And this is a pronominal suffix at the end. Yahweh is my shepherd. Lo exar, I will not chasar, I will not be without. The old English, I will not want. And in modern English, what people think, want what? In terms of to desire, but it's to want in terms of to lack. So with Yahweh as my shepherd, I lack nothing. When God is for you, who can be against you? When God is your sufficiency, you lack nothing. Verse 2, Benoth Desha, in the grazing pastures of greenness, Yar Bitzeni, he causes me to lie down. This is a hifil of Ravatz, to lie down, and the hifil, he causes me to lie down, an imperfect. He does it today. He will continue to do it. Ultimately, it's an eschatological promise. He will do it eschatologically as well. So, he's pursuing the shepherd imagery here. Yahweh, the shepherd, causes me to lie down in grazing areas of rich greenery. So the sheep need not fear. They can rest. They can linger in the pasture lands. They're not scattered. Al me menuchot. Al can mean on, but here it's beside. Beside waters of repose. This is from the root nuach, to rest. This is a plural noun. Very often plurals have an abstract meaning. By the waters of repose, by the waters of rest, Ya Nahalani, a PL of Nahal, he leads me. So he has me rest in lush areas. He leads me to where the waters are. And I can drink. Verse 3, Nafshi Yeshovev. My nefesh, my life, and this is from the root shuv, a poleo, he restores. He returns. He restores my life. Yan Cheney from Naha, a third Hebrew, it's pretty much synonymous with Nahal. He leads me, B-Mag. Ma-gale tzedek. In the ma-gale, in the tracks, tzedek, of righteousness. These are the ruts that are well-worn and therefore well-worn paths. And these are paths of righteousness. You could take that as a kind of a genitival, adjectival genitive kind of in righteous paths. Or you could take the take it in other ways as well, in paths that not only are righteous, but that lead to righteousness, or paths that flow from righteousness, or paths that are characterized as righteousness. He's obviously doing a metaphor here. The paths, he's continuing the image of sheep being led on well-worn paths, but righteousness is appropriate for the human level, that God leads the king in righteous ways so that the king rules in righteous ways. And he does this, Lama'an Shemo, for the sake of his name. So why does Yahweh do this? Not because I deserve it, but for the sake of his name. This is one of the common Old Testament ways of talking about sola gratia. God does it for his own sake, for the sake of his own name, for the sake of his own character as the gracious and loving, merciful God, and for the sake of his own reputation. That he has a holy people so that his reputation is made known far and wide. So for the sake of his name, he does this. Verse 4, Gam. Also, Ki. Very often when Ki begins a clause, a subordinate clause, it begins a subordinate clause, and in which case it should be translated when or if. Here, when. When, Elek, imperfect of Halak, when I walk, when I move, in Ge Tzalmaveth, in the valley of, now Tzalmaveth, the Masoretes punctuated as, pointed as, vocalize it as a combination of tzeil, shadow, and maweth, death. Shadow of death. And that's hence our traditional English translation, the shadow of death. But we know from other sources that the earlier pronunciation of this word was tzalmuth, and that it's really from the root tzelem, which means shadow, And so this would be deep darkness. It's a more of an abstract formation. Deep darkness in the valley of deep darkness. But I take it as maybe a play on words that technically it's deep darkness, but it evokes the noun maweth, death. In the valley of deep darkness and death, so when I move in that valley, and he's not denying that that's ever going to happen, that does happen, nevertheless, lo e ra ra, I will not fear evil. A nice sound play, e ra ra, I will not fear, I will not fear something fearsome. This, the verb is from Yahre, to be fear in the sense of to be afraid. And ra, of course, evil, bad. It's just the antonym of tov, good. Anything that's bad, deadly, disastrous, I will not fear what's bad, what terrible disasters could happen. And now he says, why? Why will I not fear? Ki, because. Ata. Here he's talking to God now. God is not third person. Now God is second person. This is one of the shifts that happens in verse 4. Because you, imadi. This is the preposition im, a variant form of it, you are with me. So Yahweh is my shepherd. He's my companion. Shiv Taka, your shavit, your staff, and your mishan, your rod and staff, Hema, they. And then here's the PL of Nacham. They, Nacham in the PL means to comfort. They comfort me. And see the U there? Yud Nachamu ni. It's a third plural. And then the ni on the end is the pronominal suffix. So Yahweh's rod and staff, Yahweh is the shepherd. They are what comfort me. Of course, his rod holds off the enemy lions, and his staff picks up the sheep when the sheep go astray and brings them back into the fold. From the biblical point of view, individual autonomy is a terrible curse. All we like sheep have gone astray, everyone in his own way. It's a terrible curse. Isolation, solitude. Whereas the fullness of life is to be gathered into God's sheepfold. The gospel delivers us from the solitude, from the misery of I, and brings us into the joy of being we. We, who are the people of God, the sheep of God. And so his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Therefore, I need not fear. Verse 5, now we have a shift in image. Tarok, from Arak, you arrange Lepanai before me, to my face before me, you arrange Shulchan, a table. Neged, in the presence of, or in the face of, right in front of, Sorarai, my foes. So, I need not fear my foes. In fact, I can enjoy a banquet right in the presence of my foes. It's a very bold picture here, having a nice banquet right in the middle, right in the presence of the hungry, devouring foes. Tishanta, you anoint, P.L. of Dashan, Bashemin, with oil, Roshi, my head. Kos, my cup, here's a noun, Ravaya, is overflowing. That cup probably goes with the table, so that there's a chiasm in this verse. you prepare a table, and my cup overflows on that table, and you anoint my head with oil. That means that I am refreshed and honored. Verse 6, Ach, surely, an intensive, surely, Tov v'chesed. Here he personifies, these are typical characteristics of Yahweh, attributes, Yahweh's goodness and his steadfast love. You think of the common refrain, Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is Tov, good, and his chesed, his steadfast love, endures forever. Here he personifies these attributes as if they are angels, and Yahweh's goodness and his steadfast love. Yir defuni, they radaf, not just they follow me, but they pursue me. They chase after me. They are actively coming behind me. So the picture is Yahweh goes in front of me, and his goodness and his steadfast love follow behind me. So I have a rear guard as well. Here comes goodness and steadfast love chasing me. I hope they catch up. And this takes place, Kol Yemei Chayei, all the days of my life. So this is a permanent relationship, a relationship that doesn't change from day to day, and gives the psalmist great joy. Vashavti, this is from Shuv, and I will return, but then with the preposition bah, into the house of Yahweh, we realize that's more appropriate for the idiom Yashav, I will dwell in the house of Yahweh. So I'm sold on the interpretation by Dalich that this is technically a combination of two idioms, both Shuv, to return to, and Yashaba, to dwell in. And so it takes the verb of one idiom and the preposition of the other idiom and combines them. The technical term for this device is a portmanteau phrase, combination of two different elements into the same, like the English word chortle, which is a combination of chuckle and snort. So this is a pregnant expression, and it conveys both, I will return to, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh. It's a pregnant expression that conveys both. That means that this is the destination. What's the destination of my trip? The house of Yahweh. Where is Yahweh leading me? His house. And so he shepherds me on the way and takes me to his house. Not my house, but his house. Old Testament times, his temple. You think of the Psalms where David says, nothing that I would desire more than to dwell in the household of God. Leorek Yamin, for the length of days. What's the fulfillment? The fulfillment comes with the new and greater David. And Yahweh, his father, was his shepherd, and he was the Davidic king, the Messiah. And God supported him all the way, even when he walked in the valley of the shadow of death, even when he went into death itself. And God raised him from the dead on the third day. And God raised him, exalted him. He now sits at the right hand of God in the heavenly temple, you might say, forever. And so the psalm, first of all, finds its fulfillment in Jesus of Nazareth, the new and greater David. And then through him, it reaches out to us as well, because in him, we too are sons of God. We too belong to the people of God. And so his blessings become our blessings. And not only that, but Jesus himself is this good shepherd. He's God in the flesh, who who became the good shepherd, and that he might shepherd us. And so we think of how the risen and exalted Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep, and he takes his life up again for the sheep. And surely, goodness and mercy, his goodness and his mercy follow us all the days of our life. And we dwell in his house forever, not just for the length of days, but for eternity. So the psalm reaches a overflowing fulfillment in Christ, and then through Christ to us as well. But don't skip that middle part of seeing Christ, first of all, as the David, and then as Yahweh in the flesh. He's actually both characters in the psalm. And then how through him, then, this psalm applies to us. But don't go directly from the psalm to us. Go, first of all, to Christ, and then through him to us. That's the wonderful Psalm 23, rich with imagery. A lot of that imagery can certainly be developed and exploited as we preach and teach on this psalm. Thank you very much. I now turn it over to my New Testament colleague, Dr. Bruce Shuckert.